before we get to the depth of our prayer list, I would like you to turn with me in your Holy Bible. Excuse me. To Luke 12, 6 and 7. This is the fourth week in a row we've used this. I'm trying to ingrain this into everyone's heart as part of our memory verses. And if you memorize this, you certainly qualify to be put on our list of memory verses. If you don't have God's Word in your heart, then you can't call upon it when the time requires it. So here's an opportunity again to learn some of God's Word that tells you how very special you are. You are worthy for prayer. You were worthy enough that Christ died for you on the cross. He loves you that much. And in verses 6 and 7, it says this. It says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God?" In the days of the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, earthly possessions were brought for sacrifice. Whether it be your best corn, a lamb, wheat, perhaps you were an oil maker, you were required by God to bring the first and the best of everything that you had in as an offering to the Lord, and it would be shared with the priests in those days. The priests kept track of who was bringing an offering to the Lord. And when Christ arrived on the scene to redeem us, he walked into his Father's house and he found that birds were being sold to people who couldn't afford any other type of an offering. Christ became angry, but it was righteous anger. Only he can have righteous anger to the depths of which we believe we have anger. We need to think about how much he loves us and how much he redeems us. He is there even to take away our anger. He even replaces that with things that go wrong in our life. And he says if he's looking after the death, the birth, the life, and the death, the history of a little sparrow, and he cares about them, then how much more does he care about you? Because you were created in his image. And that's when we think about these young children today that say, "I'm not worthy," or "I'm sorry, I've been a disappointment." They weren't a disappointment in Christ's life and in his eyes. He died for them. In this scripture, I believe it satisfies my soul this morning to think that God loves me this much. So it says again, "Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But this is the love scripture. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." This is one of those literal things that is also symbolic of how much God loves you. I believe God in his omniscience can know the numbers of the hairs of your head if he wanted to. Of course, he's God. But more, this scripture speaks to the fact that he knows every nanosecond of your life. That's what he's talking about. He knows every parcel, every parsec, every jot, every tittle of who you are, of who you were before you were formed in the womb, and who you will be if you're under his care. He doesn't want to lose one of us. He doesn't want one of his sparrows to fall to the ground and not be taken care of. But the choice is ours. Will we follow Christ, or will we try to fly on our own? This scripture says that God loves you more than you can imagine. He's wider. His love is wider. It's higher. It's deeper. It's further. It's more intense than anything that we can imagine on this earth. I can't explain it well enough except that how the scripture makes me feel that He knows every part of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for shedding the blood that set me free. Let's read this together now. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered? Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Thank God for His Word. Lord God, we do come before You and we thank You, and we never want to cut short our prayer time, but I believe that these are a praying people. I believe that they're praying right now in their own way, where they sit. And I am praying for those that are teaching our young people throughout this building, for all of those that would have the tender and kind heart to do what they do Sunday after Sunday. Lord, we thank You for that. We thank You for the leaders that are coming, those that are ready and perhaps don't even know that they're being called into service, but You will lead them, guide them, and You will direct their path. And Father God, we want to give You a token of our appreciation this morning by remembering what You did through Christ our Savior on the way to Lazarus' tomb. This is that prayer of confidence that, Lord, for me is the greatest prayer in the Bible. As Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, approached the tomb of His friend Lazarus, whom He was about to raise from the dead, Jesus, my friend and my God, You stopped and raised Your eyes and Your hands to God the Father. And You said, Father God, I thank You that You have already heard my prayer. I thank You, Lord, this morning as well. I thank You that You know our hearts. You know us more intimately than we can ever imagine. And I know that You are hearing our prayers this morning. Be with all of us. In Jesus' name. We have been talking for weeks now about how you can be the person that God has called us to be. How to become the true you. And we've looked at a variety of different scriptures and a variety of different situations. And this morning we're going to look at it a little more in depth about how God will equip you for service for Him and equip you to be the person you're called to be with His Holy Scripture and through His Holy Spirit. We found out last week in particular, that Christ, even Christ, we looked at Luke chapter 2, we looked at Christ as a young person, and we found that He was not even prepared to enter His ministry until the age of 30. We see Christ at the age of 12, if you remember that. We saw Him in the temple. He was listening and speaking, but mainly He was absorbing God's Word. And we know what happened to Him. It's one of those situations in the Bible it's called implied scripture. It's implied Word of God that we know from the age of 12 to 30, Christ was being prepared for His ministry. We know that. And we know that a variety of ways. It's spoken also because it's known that Mary and Joseph, His mother and father, took Him and His family to every celebration and kept Him in church under God's Word. We know that. But the implied part of that is that He was where He was supposed to be, because when His mother and father finally found Him, after they kind of lost track of Him for a few days, they found Him in the temple, and He said, why would you not know I am here in my Father's house? So we know by implication through the Scripture that Jesus Christ was in training, at least from 12 to 30, 18 years. But we know also that He was always in church where He belonged. And then we saw what happened when you're under God's training and under His tutelage. We found out that bad things can happen in your life. Yes, they can, and they will. In fact, Christ
promises that. He doesn't want you to have bad things. He just knows that we live in a wicked world. He knows that. He came to rescue us from the wickedness. So there again, it's all implied that he came and gave himself as the Lamb of God, became the sacrificial Lamb of God. He is the New Testament sacrifice and the only one that is necessary. No more of the old sacrificial system. No more of the priest that prayed for you. We can reach God directly through the Son of Jesus Christ. And your Bible and mine says the same thing. No one comes to the Father except they come through me. So we saw this man, Paul, who was called out of the depravity of life, an accuser of Christians, someone that allowed people to be killed for Christ's sake. We saw Paul accused of being a Christian. He had become his true self. The beauty of that scripture that we shared last week, in fact, it was from Acts 24. The scripture we shared last week, we saw Paul defending himself as a Christian. Defending himself. And we asked this question over and over here at Vanderhoof. If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence against you to convict you of being a Christian? Would there be enough evidence in your life? Well, Paul certainly had a bunch of evidence thrown against him, but God was on his side, and what Paul did to protect himself was listen to God, remember the Holy Scriptures, and then that song you just sang, I love to tell the story. He told his story. He told his story over and over and over again. In fact, in Bible study, we're studying the book of Acts right now. We're about to the end of it. But we see this man, Paul, telling his story to a variety of people in a variety of ways, touching many lives. And because he was not afraid to tell his story, many souls were saved for Christ through his Holy Spirit. So that brings us up to date. That's where we've been partially for the past 4 weeks. Today, I want to enter into a little different discussion with you. And this is about preparing yourself to be the best that you can be. If you would, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. How to prepare yourself to be the best you can possibly be. We're going to look at preparing ourselves. We're going to look at using the gifts that we're given after we prepare ourselves. And then we're going to look at the biggest thing, I think, today, for today's conversation, how to accept what you've been given from God and then use it for Him. And we're going to final this out by understanding through God's Word how precious you are. We used that scripture just a few moments ago from the book of Luke to tell you how precious you are. But we have even more scripture this morning to end with that tells you how mightily precious you really are. So, are you in the book of Romans? How to prepare yourself to be the best that you can be. Here it is. Verses 1 and 2. It doesn't get much simpler than this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We'll come back to this in a second. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable, and is the perfect will of God. This is how you prepare yourself to be the best you can be. This is the instruction that we need. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says that all Scripture is given by God to help us understand who we are, where we're going, and what our mission in life is. And to correct us along the way. I paraphrase that, but that is exactly what it means. So we're using this scripture this morning to instruct us in the way of righteousness. And I need this as much as anyone else that's in this room today.
I need to present my body as a living sacrifice. And it doesn't need to just be presented. Anybody can do that. Even the most nervous person. I got to tell you this. This is hilarious. I hope you won't take this the wrong way. Everybody should stay hydrated when they go somewhere like Kings Island. Would you agree? You don't want to get, you don't want to pass out from dehydration. So we drank a lot yesterday, and I mean we drank a lot. And therefore, you have to go to these rooms quite frequently, right? So I was in this room, and you couldn't help but notice this. This two little boys came in there, and they just amazed me. They were just yakking and chattering and carrying on. They were obviously having a wonderful time. And I had to wait on a place to use. And this little boy just walks up, and he just pulls his pants down. He just stands there butt naked, and he's jabbering to his little friend. I think it was his cousin. He said, "You know what?" He said, "I went on this ride with my dad, and it was pretty good, and it was nice and smooth. But man, I went on this ride with my grandma, and I got the jitters." I told my grandkids about it, and they said, "Papa, what's the jitters?" This little boy was telling his little cousin, he was nervous. Doesn't matter how nervous you are, I believe that each and every one of you, even if you get the jitters, standing, sometimes they say that the biggest fear in this world, except for death, is public speaking. Do you believe that? Public speaking? How does that happen? My biggest fear is losing a hat on. Present yourselves a living sacrifice, even if you have the jitter. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't say living sacrifice and stop. If you're here today, I pray you're living. And I thank you for being here. Praise God you're here. But it says holy. Now, none of us are holy on our own. We can never be holy on our own. We can never, ever be righteous. But if we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we can cloak ourselves in His holiness. And we can fulfill our dream of being who we're supposed to be by putting on the righteousness of Christ. In fact, next week, we'll tell you how to get dressed. Present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. The living God. Let's go over the rest of this before we move on. How do we prepare ourselves? Act in such a way that people will perceive that you have God's Holy Spirit in your life. Sometimes we have to practice, don't we? We can't always have the best smiling face on, can we? I mean, sometimes things hurt so bad. People, and you know, you should show your feelings. You should. So people can say, "Are you okay?" And you can say, "Do you have a minute? I need to tell you." Or if you're really happy, they'll say, "What are you so happy about?" Well, then tell them. Practice being clothed in the holiness and the righteousness. Jesus Christ, to see what happens to your life. And then it says that this is a reasonable service. This always gets me. Every time that I have these feelings that I've done enough, you ever have that feeling? You've done enough? I know that we walked, I wish I'd had a pedometer on yesterday. I know we walked 20 miles on asphalt and concrete. I know we did. Thank God I've been going to the gym. That's all I can say. Last year, I was having trouble with my legs, and I had to quit early. To just sit down and wait on the kids to get done. I didn't quit this time. But I praise God for that. He saw me through it. And there was times yesterday I wanted to quit and say, "Let's just go home." But we haven't been able to be with our kids all summer.
because of illnesses in the family and a variety of things. And this was our time together. This was our day. We weren't about to cut it short. God feels that way about you. Sure, and I'm positive because my Bible says that in the Garden of Gethsemane, my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ raised his eyes to the Lord and said, "Do I need to drink this bitter cup? Do I have to do this?" And the answer was yes. Our reasonable service as a Christian is to act in such a way that people will know that we have the holiness and the righteousness of Christ in our lives. Acceptable to God. Whatever we do, if you think about that, how deep does that get? Is what I'm doing today and what I'm thinking and my mannerisms and my character, is what I am doing today acceptable in the sight of a holy and righteous God? Man, when you start to think about it that way, and then you actually stop and give it some thought, give it some time, and you say, "Lord, is what I'm doing today going to be seen as holy and acceptable in the eyes of Christ?" It says, this is my reasonable service. It always gets me. When I'm ready to quit, when I'm ready to lay things down, say, "I've had enough, I've done enough," then I remember the Scripture. It's just reasonable. It doesn't say it's too demanding. It's not too heavy on your life. If it meant that, it would say that. The Scripture says, this is just normal. As a Christian, your normal, acceptable, reasonable service to God is to present your bodies a holy and acceptable sacrifice. That's how you prepare yourself. Verse 2, self-explanatory. I'm not going to go too deep there. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and is the perfect will of God. There is one person who can transform your mind. And only one. His job is so specific on this earth that people get this wrong so often, it's uncanny that they don't read their Bible. God's Holy Spirit was left here to convict us of sin and to remind us of the righteousness and the holiness of Jesus Christ. That's His job. It's not to walk on pews. It's not to slap people on the head. It's not to handle snakes. His job is to remind us constantly of who Christ is and what He did for us and how holy and righteous He is. That's His job. And to remind us continually, are you doing the right thing? Is what you're doing acceptable in the presence of Christ? It's called our spiritual, He is called our spiritual conscience. Read the book of John. Just open it up and get into it as far as you can. Get into the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th chapter and read about the person and the duties of God's Holy Spirit. That's who's left here. Jesus Christ said, I'm going away. And I'm going away for a good reason. I'm going away so that my Holy Spirit can be present with you always. And He promised you, and I will be with you always, even unto the end of these times and this earth. Wow, as Christians, we have a duty to prepare ourselves to listen to God's Holy Spirit. Then you can become the person you're called to be. To use the gifts, what do we do there? So turn to 1 Corinthians and we'll find out how to use, after we're prepared and during our preparation, how to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 12 there again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week we figured out to not be anxious about where you are with Christ and what you're doing, because, as you remember, Christ was in training too. He may have you in training today to do one job, and in training also today to do another job in the future. Rest in what you are doing now and let Him speak to you when the time comes. There may be another job that He has in store for you, or you may be doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing for the rest of your life. We know of a wonderful teacher that was here, and a minister that was here for years and years and years. And he taught and he taught and he taught, and he didn't see the fruit. But he kept laying the groundwork year after year after year after year. That was Cecil Horsley. He didn't get to see the blessing of all that work. But, you know, he was the type of man that would not say it was of him. It was of God anyway. So he plowed and he plowed and he plowed, and he did what is acceptable to God. He kept on keeping on until God said it was time for him to go. And that's what Cecil did. And you may find that your job in the relationship with Jesus Christ may be to do one thing, and just to put your shoulder to the plow and never look back. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just concentrate on the job that you're doing today. But God also may be calling you to fulfill a greater purpose for Him. But each purpose, whatever it is the greatest purpose for you at that time. If God's in it, and if He is using you, and if it's not about you, if it's about God, and it's about relationship with Him, and if it's about teaching and being with God for the kingdom and the furtherance of the kingdom of God, you are doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing at that moment in time. Rest in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, specifically says this: the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I hope that makes sense to you after what I have just expounded upon. The manifestation, that means the appearing of the Spirit in you. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. What's this mean? It means exactly what I've been saying. If you allow God's Holy Spirit to work in your life, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing right now, that means the Spirit, God's Spirit, is in control of what you're doing. And your job is just as important as anybody else's job, because it affects all of us. This particular scripture we're going to concentrate on for just a moment. It says, go back to verse 1. As you're being trained up, you're going to be given spiritual gifts. They're not all the same. The Bible says that. Paul says this: concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to become ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you're one of the persons that's truly speaking about God, you will be doing it because of the Holy Spirit, not because of you. I told people time and time again. People say, good job, Craig, or this was nice, or that was nice, or sometimes I didn't understand what was going on. I don't understand what was going on, then it was Craig. If it was a good job, then it was Holy Spirit. God speaks through you when you believe in the Holy Spirit. He will speak through you. You don't have to stand at a pulpit or stand in a church. It can be at the grocery store, it can be at work, it can be anywhere you are.
that God will speak to you through you if you will let Him use you. And His Spirit will be manifested. That's what that verse 7 is about. God's Spirit is in you, and it will come out of you. We know people who are literally possessed. I'm not getting wacky on you here. They are possessed by the evil of this world. I'm not talking about Linda Blair. I'm talking about people who are possessed by the evil of this world. They cannot get away from it. They cannot let go. We heard of a family last week. Unbelievable. Heard of young people, old people, middle-aged. It doesn't matter who they are. They get possessed by the things of this world and they can't let go of the evil. It keeps building and building and building in their lives. When you come to Christ, you come to this altar, wherever that is, you ask God's Holy Spirit to replace the evil with the holiness and the righteousness of Christ. Then watch what comes out of you. The Spirit will be manifested in you. And we all have different gifts. It goes on to say that. We're not going to read all of it. Read chapter 12. It's a great read. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But it ends there. That parting of thought and that process ends there in verse 7. You, whatever gift you have been given for today, use it fully for the holiness and the righteousness of Christ. Let it out. Let it go. Sing like you've never sang before, right? We've got a little girl. She wants to sing. I keep telling her, when you're ready, we'll sing. I'm too nervous today. She had the jitters. Couldn't sing today. But when she gets ready, she gets over the jitters, or maybe she'll still have the jitters. Angie had the jitters last week. Where are you, Angie? Here she is. You sound like a nightingale. People are still talking about how beautiful it was, but you know what? I know you were singing for the Lord because otherwise you wouldn't have sung. And Jeff and Angie sang, and you two need to sing together. But no, I'm serious, because you complement one another. We sang with some people that somehow individually we don't sound, you know, but together. And see, that's what it is with God. I'm not getting off track. When you allow God's Holy Spirit to enter you and manifest, it's you and God. You've got someone with you. You've got His Holy Spirit with you. Why deny that? Why deny His Holy Spirit in your life? Let it manifest from you. And you know what? Only good fruit will come out of you if it's Christ. And if it's not, my Bible says to test the Spirit. You'll find that over in another book in the Bible. You'll go over to Galatians and you'll be reading about that. And it'll say, test the Spirit. And how do you test the Spirit? If they're not speaking about Jesus Christ and His blood and His righteousness, it's not of God. That's that simple. It says if they are speaking about Jesus Christ and His blood and His righteousness and it's not about them, then it's of God. So trust that Spirit. And so when someone comes to you, and if it's all about them all the time, 24/7, probably not. If God's in the middle of it, probably so. Let the Holy Spirit manifest from you. That's the use part. That's how He can use you as He prepares you. And don't think you have to be fully prepared all the time. God's Word, through His Holy Spirit, will equip you for the task that He calls you to, not the one you want. Task that He calls you. It's a difference between I want and yes, Lord. Not I need. Get it out of there. Don't worry about the friends and all that stuff. It's about either I want or yes, Lord. Are you with me? I want or yes, Lord. But Lord, no. Yes, Lord. But I need to, no. Yes, Lord. Answer the call. One more place to go.
and it's time to go home. And then it's time to practice what we preach, right? So if you catch me out somewhere, and if I'm not practicing what I'm preaching, then you call me out on that. And I'm serious. You need to accept the person that God has called you to be. Because that person may be different than your idea of who you think you are. Are you with me? The person that God called you to be may be different than what you think you ought to be. Turn to 2 Corinthians with me. That's just one book over. And turn with me to chapter 5. You will have friends and neighbors and perhaps family and other church members that might become astonished at the new you. Even people who have gone and worshiped for years and years and years, going to church for years and years, when you may have never accepted the person that God has called you to be, and you may be changed in an instant. You may be catapulted into doing something totally different than you've done before. Or you might be remaining there at the plow. But nonetheless, you can't let friends or family members influence who God wants you to be. You've got to go ahead and do it anyway. Right, Penny? When he gets a hold of you, when he says, look, child, listen to me. You either say, I want, or you say, yes, God. Yes. There's no in-between. Remember the rich young ruler? I don't want to get too off. This isn't off track. The rich young ruler wanted to come to Christ Jesus. He came to him. He said, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you all the days of my life. I want to be like you. I want to do the things that you do. Back in that same scripture, we find a guy that wants to buy authority to perform miracles. You can't buy authority to perform miracles, by the way. But the rich young ruler, he wanted to become like Christ. He wanted to become one of the disciples. And he said, Lord, and the Lord Jesus told him, you have to do this, 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 and this. You have to be in prayer. You have to be one of mine. You have to accomplish. You have to do this, do this. Just like we've been telling you this morning. Get ready. Get prepared. Use your gifts for the Lord. And the rich young ruler said to Christ Jesus, he said, I've done all those things. Christ said, really? Jeff said to me this morning, fine. We're friends. I asked him to close the sound room door. He said, fine. The rich young ruler said, I've done all the things you've asked me to do. And Christ said, really? Then sell all of your goods and all of your possessions and follow me. He goes, oops. I got the jitters. I can't do it. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says we need to take on a new nature, doesn't it? This is our motivation. To be reconciled to Christ. This is a motivating factor that takes care of preparing ourselves and for using the gifts. In order to complete this circle of working for Christ, we need to prepare, we need to use the gifts that He gives us, and then we need to accept that person for Christ. It says this, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation, and old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is deep and wide and long, and we will end here except for I want to share one verse in the book of Revelation with you. When you prepare you allow Him to use your gifts, then you need to put on the new person in Christ Jesus. And when you do, you can't take Him off at your will. It's a hard thing. Because our nature says that I want to be Christ-like sometimes, and I want to be who I want to be the rest of the time. It's our nature. It's our nature. We have a thing called a reprobate mind. It keeps wanting to reset and go back to the evil. But after God has prepared you and you've allowed Him to use you and mold you, and then He's given you gifts, then you need to put on that new creation in Christ Jesus and become that person that God called you to be. But you can't take those clothes of righteousness and of holiness on and off at your will. Because you become what God calls a double-minded man. You can't have it both ways. If you do, and some people try, they always fail. They always find out. You have to be at least trying to be the person that God called you. Will we stumble and fall? John 16:33 says this. In this life you will have trials and you will have tribulations. Amen. But it doesn't end there. It says rejoice. Because Christ, not us, has overcome the world. You can be prepared. He can give you spiritual gifts and use you. But you need to be the new person. Christ Jesus, because that is the person God called you to be. I have one last scripture. Just want to share it with you in closing. It's from the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, my Savior. And you will find this in the 5th chapter. The 5th chapter. Ending as I started, sharing with you how much God loves you, and how much He cares for you, and how much He has been willing to do on our behalf. And this book of love called my Bible, ends with a love celebration for all who would believe on Christ my Savior. And here in chapter 5 of the book of the Revelation, it says, verse 9, that those who believe in Christ sang a new song, saying, you, giving praise to Christ, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Remember that song we sang this morning? We're redeemed through the sacrifice of Christ's blood. All the things that we've talked about this morning, Him calling you, Him training you, entrusting you with holy gifts, asking you to be the person, the best person you can be, He did that all because He loved you enough to die for you. Remember the part about reasonable service in Romans chapter 12? If someone's willing to die for you and shed their blood for you, and do the pay the ultimate sacrifice, shouldn't we be at least willing to give Him the praise and the honor and glory and say, you've done this for us through your blood? And it doesn't end there. It gets better. It says, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood. Now listen to this. If you think there's a difference between anybody's color or nation or gender, then you better start thinking twice. I've preached this here for 12 years. I will not stop preaching it until God either strikes me dead or it's time for me to leave here.
and I mean this sincerely, there is no difference between Jew, Greek, Muslim. It doesn't matter who you are or what you were born into. There is no race. There is no white race. There's no black race. There's no green race. There's only one race. It's the human race. There's different ethnicities. There's different colors. We're born in different places. But we are all born of the blood and the water, and we are all given the opportunity to come to Christ. We are His. If you admit who He is, it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. If you come through the blood of Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Period. And my Bible says this. This is the last book of this Bible. There's so much prejudice in our community. It's unholy. And it's in every community. There's so much prejudice that goes on. It makes me weep. I literally cry for this community. Weep on my knees that we could get over this bigotry in this community. It's unholy and it's unhealthy and it's not right in the eyes of God. He says in His Bible that He's redeemed us to God by His blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Does it get any plainer than that? Do we have enemies? You can call them whatever you want. You can label them whatever they want. Yes, people are shooting at us. Yes, people are wanting to kill us. But they're only individuals. God has called us, not Vanderhoof Baptist Church. He has called all of us through His blood and redeemed us because of His sacrifice out of every tribe and out of every nation on this earth. Had to be the person God wants you to be. Put on the creature that God created through His Holy Spirit. And do what is holy and acceptable. Son.